Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. Kirk Cousins expected to be released by the Falcons for the Athletic.
Texans?
Call your shot on Kirk Cousins. Where's Kirk Cousins playing football next year?
Think he's starting next year?
I think he's in a battle. I have a spot.
I do too. I think it's the same one as you.
Probably. Skoll?
Yep.
Yeah. I think he's going to go back to Minnesota.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fun. 713-780-ESPN.
Option two.
Pittsburgh.
Interesting. I was thinking Arizona or Miami.
Okay.
If they, you know, you move on from, you cut Tua or Kyler or trade him, you're stuck with all this dead cap. So you're bringing a $5 million quarterback in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Kind of just get you through the year as you work through your quarterback situation. Give you a chance to keep working on things.
Okay.
That could work.
Somebody says he will start for the Browns. That'd be interesting. Bring him to Shadur and Deshaun Watson's quarterback room.
What a room.
And Dylan Gabriel.
What a room.
Yeah.
Good luck, Todd Monken.
Junkie says, so why did Mr. BMAC buy all of CJ shirts? Considering he does have a CJ Stroud shirt. I think it says hope, too. Maybe, does it say hope? I think it says hope. Maybe he bought the shirt in hope that he would someday be good.
It does say hope, but that shirt was given to me. I didn't buy it.
When are you going to put duct tape over the H and turn it into an N?
Oh, that's a good question.
I thought you were going to say a D.
That's a good question. But Jeremy doesn't know this next part. Joe does. Like, I've officially retired that shirt.
Oh, really?
I will not wear it again until
he proves something. That.
I thought about burning it for just to be performative, but I decided not to.
Put it in a box and put it in the attic? Like, what does a retired shirt look like?
It's just lower in the dresser where I don't ever see it.
All my retired shirts are the ones I don't fit into anymore.
I have some of those, too.
Outside of the playoff game, Stroud doesn't throw a lot of picks. He was good his rookie year, but not great. But everyone hyped this season. The league knows how to defend that offense better, and his O-line sucks. See, I feel like there's a lot of, like, gatekeeping for Stroud. Like, and look, I get that, you know, maybe he's been limited with play calling. Maybe the play calling's been limited with him. I get that the offensive line is really inept of talent. Like, I get those things. Like, has that had a negative effect with him getting hit repeatedly? Has he been conditioned into, like, being a little bit, you know, fidgety, a little bit squirmish in the pocket? Sure. Like, all that stuff matters. But it is who he is. Like, it is who he currently is. Like, we all are the reflection of things that we've had conditioned into us for our entire lives, right? Like, why do I have ADHD? I don't know. I just do. Like, but that's not going away. So, like, we can't gatekeep my ADHD, right? I know nothing but sports, probably because I've spent my whole life, like, learning sport and nothing else. Like, that's a valid excuse, but are you going to trust me to know other things? Of course not. So, like, yes, C.J. Stroud has excuses to why his play hasn't been fantastic. But it is who he is.
Yeah, it's just, there are only a few quarterbacks who can excel in a situation that's not perfect. It feels like now in the NFL, like, everything has to be at least somewhat competent, like, from either way or others. I mean, and I feel like all quarterbacks struggle without a good play caller, frankly. Like, even like this last year with Mahomes, it was a down year with the system that Andy Reid and Matt Nagy were using, and that's why they made a change. So either bringing in Bieniemy because it wasn't working out for them well last year. Now the wide receivers are terrible there in Kansas City. The offensive line wasn't great. We didn't see the best version of Patrick Mahomes. Like, every quarterback is a victim to their environment in a way. But, like, I just, like, one of the texters asked about that I was on the Stroud wagon and, like, what changed. It just hasn't gotten any better. Like, the reality is like, when we were talking about C.J. Stroud as a top 10 quarterback, we all were projecting incorrectly that it was going to get better. And weirdly, like, some statistical categories, like, it has. Like, his QBR, it was the best of his career. His quarterback rating was you know, number two of his last three, was second. You know, so it was better than last year. His completion percentage was the highest it's ever been. Now, he threw for 1,100 less yards than he did his rookie year. But, like, the touchdowns, you know, totals isn't that different. It's 23, 20, and 19. So, like, it's not overall that different. The interception numbers, you know, like, he threw 5, 12, and 8. So, it's like, they're not dramatically different, it feels like, any year. It just hasn't gotten any better. So it's like it's just who he is.
Yeah. I do think that we underrate, generally speaking, not just in Stroud's case, but all quarterbacks' case. I do think that we underrate the setting around the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And this is where I had the weird Pat Mahomes, Kyler Murray thought epiphany, craziness, psychotic episode. I don't know what we want to call it. But what does Pat Mahomes do, at least from like an athletic perspective, better than Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray's faster. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's got a bigger arm. Kyler Murray's more athletic. He's quicker. I mean, Kyler Murray's probably the greatest athlete currently on planet Earth. He was the only player drafted in the first round in two different professional sports. Kyler's faster. He's more twitchy. Got a bigger arm. Probably not as accurate, but what's the difference? Well, Mahomes is smarter. Mahomes is cerebral, but also the setting. Like, what does Kyler Murray look like if he was drafted by Kansas City? Kyler Murray was a higher draft pick than Pat Mahomes.
He's probably
so, like,
awesome.
He was thought of higher coming out of college than Pat Mahomes was.
Yeah.
Athletically, far better. Bigger arm, fast, like all of it. But what's the difference between Mahomes and Kyler Murray? The first thing I would point to is Mahomes' like football IQ is off the charts. You know, maybe the best we've seen since Brady, whereas Kyler Murray is probably one of the worst. So like that's a huge thing, but it's also like, well, okay, is it flawed how we're looking at these quarterbacks? Bring in the S2, bring in the Wonderlic, whatever. Maybe it's just watching tape and thinking where their football IQ could be someday. But then also the quarterback setting is massive. Like Andy Reid made Donovan McNabb look great. Like, does Donovan McNabb look great everywhere? Maybe. He made Mike Vick, a second-place MVP finish? Mm-hmm. After he was in prison? After he was a backup quarterback? Kevin Cobb, love him. Go Cougs. Didn't have success. Now, he did have concussions, but he got paid because of a year that he had in Philadelphia. Got concussed, really didn't bounce back anywhere else. He goes to Kansas City, like, makes Alex Smith play the best football that he's ever played. Drafts Pat Mahomes, was it number 10 where they traded up? Sits a year behind Smith, and then he's the best quarterback since Brady? Like, I don't think that Kyler Murray is equivalent to you know, Pat Mahomes. He's not equal to Mahomes. I don't think if Kyler Murray was in the same situation as Pat Mahomes that he would have as much success as Mahomes individually or would have Kansas City with the team success that they had under Mahomes. But how differently do we view Kyler Murray if he was in that setting versus the setting that he was in?
Probably very differently.
We underrate the quarterback setting tremendously.
Yeah, I think the Mahomes point is good because like it's the S2 thing, right, with CJ. What does he know still to this day? What does he not know? We don't know the answer to that. Like, we won't know, I guess, until CJ Stroud leaves or until he has, like, big-time success and he admits to his flaws. But, like, when Patrick Mahomes got to Kansas City, after they won the Super Bowl in his second year, he admitted that when he got to Kansas City, he didn't know what the Mike linebacker was. He had no idea how to read a defense. He had no idea any kind of concept that the NFL defenses were going to run against him. And by sitting for an entire year and having Andy Reid and Alex Smith teach him, he learned it. And like, I think that to me is like, is the difference between a guy like Kyler, where Kyler is more athletic and maybe more like physically talented, but Mahomes knows what's happening in front of him. And that's where I question with CJ is if he has any idea of what's happening in front of him. You know, it's not just the offensive line. Like for year two, we all blamed Slowick in the center for all the problems that were happening with the stunts and everything in front of him. This year, CJ got control. The stunts were not as much of an issue from other teams, but there were still always free rushers. There were still always problems that he was facing on defenses that you could tell from an amateur football viewer point of view that they didn't have an answer to.
I mean, why can Phillip Rivers be retired for 4 years and come back and start NFL games and not look half bad? The mind.
Yeah.
The ability to process, the ability to pick up what the defense's game plan is against you, to read coverages, to know where to go with the football on top of the coverage that you're seeing, to have the answers quickly. So maybe it's a sidebar conversation, but I think that's the other thing that we underrate tremendously when evaluating quarterbacks: football intelligence, football IQ. And I don't think that you need to have like a great cognitive S2 score in order to have tremendous football IQ. I think it's silly. Obviously, we're going to have fun with it. Like the BYU quarterback was like the number two S2 dude in that draft. I don't think that you have to test well in an S2 to have great football IQ. I don't think there's correlation there. You know, maybe processing ability, there's some correlation there. I think that's fair. But I think we underrate the setting. We underrate the mind of a quarterback and what he's going to see to the NFL. Now, to back up, to these all these NFL general managers, I think it is next to impossible to evaluate a college quarterback, know where their football IQ is, as they get ready for the NFL. It is two different worlds. That's why I think we see so many quarterback misses. I think that's why we see a Jamarcus Russell go in the, you know, number one, Vince Young, number one, Johnny Manziel in the first round, is that it's very hard to know what a college quarterback is going to look like after they have to process NFL defenses. I think it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we underrated in the whole draft process. We look at arm. We look at speed. We look at athleticism. Well, what if he's not watching film and can't read a defense? He's useless. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. And like I'm not saying Stroud's useless. I think Stroud could be a good quarterback, but we are seeing the warts. We're seeing the flaws. Like, we fell in love year one because everybody was ready to fall in love, right? You won 11 games in 3 years. You were tired of watching Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor fight for the QB job with David Culley and Lovie Smith coaching the team. So everybody was champing at the bit to have something to fall in love over. Stroud has one of the greatest rookie seasons of all times for a variety of reasons. He is talented. He had a better quarterback setting than maybe the next 2 years of his career. They get to the playoffs and all systems go. Everybody's back. You're in love. And now we're starting to see some of the weaknesses and the warts.
Yeah, it's one of those where, to your point there, I think we've mentioned this a couple of times now. I think we really underrated what was around Stroud his rookie year. Like, we really, in the moment, gave all credit to Stroud. And I think now, in retrospect, it's like there was more around him than it was the best version of Shaq Mason that we ever saw. You have Titus, you have Tunsil. Like that three there on the offensive line, when healthy, was better than anything the Texans have rolled out since. Nico Collins showed up that year. Yeah. It clearly wasn't just because of Stroud. Like,
Tank had a really good rookie year.
Tank Dell had a good rookie year. Like, you had good contributions from all these different guys on the roster, and then it just kind of has all been falling apart or stayed stagnant at this point through 3 years.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Yeah, I think that's fair. I like stagnant more than falling apart.
Well, I think falling apart, the offensive line, stagnant, everything else.
Now, here's the question LT's going to break. 713-780-3776. Like, is this offense better for him than the Slowick offense? Because, like, you mentioned, like, the QBR, like, career high in QBR, right? He's not taking this many sacks. He's getting rid of the football more. He's not, you know, sexier, certainly, but is it, like, more winning football? 713-780-3776. Junkies have thoughts, too. The dozens and dozens of the junkies. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Did Jeremy just say that Kyler has a better arm than Mahomes? I say he has a stronger arm than Mahomes. I don't think he has a better arm. I think he has a stronger arm. If you just put Kyler Murray and Pat Mahomes on the goal line and told them to throw the ball as far as you can down the field, who throws it further?
Kyler.
If you put them both on the goal line and you told him to throw at a target 20 yards downfield, throw it as fast as you can, who would have a higher velo?
Kyler.
Yeah, I think they're both Kyler. Kyler was also the better baseball player than Mahomes.
But who hits the target?
Mahomes. That's why I didn't say better arm.
Yeah, exactly.
I said stronger arm. I didn't say better arm. Kyler was also the better baseball player. They both played collegiate baseball. Pat Mahomes played his freshman year. Didn't play much. Pitched a little bit. Kyler obviously played quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm curious where he would have got drafted if he would have been more
Pat open. Mahomes?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he would have been a drafted player.
Well, he got drafted late.
Did he?
Yeah, I saw a clip of him talking about it. And he made it seem like he got drafted later than he should have because he went into the process telling them, like, we're not going to sign for...
I mean, a lot of football players get drafted for, like, the giggles of it. Like,
I think it was before...
Ricky Williams was drafted.
I think he was drafted before his
last
year.
I think Tom Brady was drafted.
Brady was drafted by the Yankees?
I don't remember by who. I do think that if Mahomes didn't play football and committed to only baseball, I think he would have been a good baseball player.
Yeah, he was a 37th round pick.
Okay, yeah. That was
That's 2014.
That was like a favor. That was like a giggle. Like, haha.
But yeah, he claims it's because he committed to playing football, so he fell in the draft. That's what he says.
I don't disagree with that.
But like, he's probably not going like, you know, in the first
round. I think he could have been a good baseball player if he only played baseball. Jameis Winston would have been a really good baseball player if he only played baseball. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston was starting games as a not fluky either. He was starting games as a freshman at Florida State, which was a baseball power.
Yeah.
Like, Jameis Winston was a great baseball player. Would have been a great baseball player if he chose baseball. Didn't.
Astros?
It's too late for all that. Way too late for all that. Baker Mayfield, great example of good OC. See, I disagree with that. He says Baker Mayfield has regressed this year. No, he didn't. Like, I think that Baker was really good at the start of the year. People were talking about how he could win the MVP, and then he got hurt. Yeah. I think Baker was playing hurt.
Yeah, and Baker has done a good job with what he's going to be on his fourth OC in 4 years in Tampa Bay. Does that sound right?
Yeah, he had a new one this year. He had Liam last year.
And then Liam replaced someone.
Yeah.
So it's at least his third OC in Tampa Bay. So like it's been like, you don't have to be like a great OC. I think you just have to have competence in your OC. And as the question we're going to get to, being an offense that fits your system.
Yeah.
As a quarterback.
I would have been a great baseball player, but I decided to work instead, says a junkie. I did hit 400 in high school.
I heard.
I was a 400 hitting high school baseball player. Texture says CJ Stroud was never elite. Look at his college receivers. I don't think anybody said he was elite. We said he had a great rookie year, which he did. Josh Allen, how many turnovers you crying? I don't know. I'm like the biggest Josh Allen hater there is. I don't know what that means. A few more texts on this. Call me crazy, but I'd rather have Kyler with his current contract over CJ and whatever non-deserving contract he'll get. I don't know if we had a couple of texts on Kyler. I don't know if I can go there.
I can't go there. He doesn't stay healthy.
No, he doesn't.
There's literal data proof that his statistics drop off a cliff when the new Call of Duty comes out. Like, you can't really know if it's actually correlated, but like, the numbers sure portray it that way, that every season when the new Call of Duty comes out, he plummets, because we know he's an avid Call of Duty guy.
Yeah.
Like, no, I would never pick Kyler Murray over CJ Stroud.
Yeah, Kyler's a better athlete, no doubt, but I just don't think he plays winning ball. Now, you could say, well, Stroud doesn't. Well, I'd push back on that. Stroud does have 3 playoff wins. Now, this past year, he got 1 in spite of him. Brain and processing matter, 2 best ever with less ability and more wins. Where Brady and Manning agree with that. CJ's first year schedule is very weak. The next 2 years, he's playing first place schedules. I'm working on something. I haven't started. I don't want to tell you what it is, but it kind of correlates with that. Was Gruden doing his quarterback show of the year Stroud was drafted? He was not.
Because was that when he was? I think he was coaching the Raiders.
Well, he might have been. Gruden might have been doing it, but Stroud, he might have been coaching the Raiders. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
Stroud has never done anything with like film watch and stuff like that I've seen.
Yeah,
we make it all about the QB, but the systems and team around you matters. Is Mahomes greater, or does he have a great coach? Coaching greater than QB? They're both very important, but one helps the other. Like, that's needless to say, right?
I think it's like, as Brady kind of has proved, and I think Mahomes is in the same boat here, where like, coaching matters to a point, and then the quarterback typically goes past the coach.
Yes.
At some point. And I think like that's where Mahomes is at now, where Mahomes is okay without, would be okay without
it. I don't know. I mean, I would tend to think so, yes. I also think that Andy Reid is one of the greatest offensive minds of this generation.
Agreed.
So that helps. Do you think the Texans are answering call for CJ offers? I don't. I think it's unrealistic. I don't think that he gets traded.
I also don't think there's the potential value of CJ. I don't think it would reflect what the Texans would even want. So even if they like were like, CJ's on the market, if they were to set a price, I don't know how many teams would meet it.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, are you getting 3 firsts for CJ?
No.
I don't think so.
Not off that.
No. And so, like, I don't think the Jets are calling with that. So it's like, well, then you just hold on to him.
And you're also trying to win. You know?
Yeah.
Could you imagine Murray, all 5 foot of him, trying to play behind the offensive line that CJ's played behind? Yeah, he'd be running for his life and doing okay with it.
Yeah,
like, he's watch, a very good scrambler.
Watch the Cardinals play.
Very good scrambler. Malik Willis over CJ? Eh.
No.
Will Malik Willis be a starter in the NFL next year?
I'm going to say yes.
I drafted him in best ball today.
Nice.
Promo code KILLERB on underdog.
Nice.
QB2, you know. Running quarterbacks, good fantasy quarterbacks.
It is. Like, I think he's got good fantasy value, but I think he finds a starting job next year.
Yeah. Look it up. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks since 80s were cerebral and have way more wins. Shocker here, Joe. Super Bowl winning quarterbacks have way more wins than non-Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That is stunning.
It's true.
That is some stunning insight that you only get here from the text line. The dozens and dozens of junkies of Jeremy and Joe. Super Bowl winning quarterback since the 80s. I'm surprised you can't go back to the 70s with this stat. I'm surprised you can't go back to the 60s with this stat. Super Bowl winning quarterback since the 80s were cerebral and have way more wins.
Also, like, it's not really a pro, like an anti-CJ argument when CJ Stroud has the second most wins ever in his first 3 years as a quarterback in the NFL.
You're right.
So, like, he has a lot of wins.
He does have a lot of wins. And he has the most playoff wins of any starting quarterback in Houston Texans history.
Congrats. No, I think you can nitpick that a little bit.
Of course.
That, you know, his defense in the in those three playoff wins, his defense has given up 32 points. You know how many points they've scored?
Less than that.
32.
Yeah. What did you say the defense scored?
The defense has scored 32 points.
Yeah, tied. Okay.
It's tied.
Yeah, I remember seeing that somewhere.
So it's like, it's kind of like hard to... Now, CJ played good in a lot of those wins. Like, I don't want to take away, like, what he did in, like, the Browns game and some of these games. Like, even the Chargers game. But, like, he's had a lot of help, too, in those games.
Junkie says, what is Marino's wins versus Trent Dilfer? I don't work for free. Those are billable hours. You can Google that. But what are you trying to say there? Like, I can guarantee you Marino has way more wins than Trent Dilfer does as a starter.
Let's go.
Like, a ton more. Like, Trent Dilfer is a starter. I mean, how many years was he a starter? Maybe 5 years?
Yeah.
Let's say he averaged. I'll say Trent Dilfer has a career 50 wins, like, as a starting quarterback. Let me know when you have that information. Dan Marino played for, like, 15 years. They were constantly, like, a playoff team. I'm going to say Marino has, like, 140-ish.
147?
Okay.
How many do you think Trent Dilfer has?
I said 50.
58.
Okay.
Look at you.
So he almost has three times as many wins as Trent Dilfer. I don't know what the texter's trying to prove there.
I don't either. I don't either.
What does that text mean? I don't get it.
No, their average is essentially the same. If you go a 17-game average in their career, Dilfer ends up being a 9-8 quarterback. Marino is a 10-7.
But the problem that you're having is that you're only taking Dilfer's years that he started.
I know.
Which he probably had how many years as a starter? 5 or 6? Like, as the primary guy? He wasn't even the primary guy in Baltimore.
It's hard to say with injury. So I would say 5, it looks like.
Was it Tony Banks 6. Who was QB1 on that Baltimore team? I think Tony Banks was QB1 on that Baltimore team, and they got hurt. And then they rode with Dilfer. And then they literally let Trent Dilfer leave the next year.
For Gerbach?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Tony Banks was a starter.
Okay. Texan, great.
Really?
How many Super Bowl quarterbacks were considered highly athletic? Not many. Yeah, I don't need highly athletic quarterbacks. I couldn't care less about that. Breaking news, good QBs are better than bad QBs. I agree. So. Good call, Eric the Buyer. Nothing gets by the junkies. Mm. Nothing gets by the junkies. How do we feel if CJ struggles again next season? Bad.
See ya, buddy.
We're really bad. Man, you have some dummies texting in right now, but not me. It can never be me. You're right. It could never be you. Did Peyton have an OC? I feel like he coached himself, Aggie Matt. Yeah, I think by him, title alone, I think. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Do you think that the Kaley system is better for the Texans and Stroud winning games, not stat chasing, than the Slowick scheme?
No, I don't. I don't. I like the 49ers system better. I think it's just... We're seeing so many teams have success with it in the NFL, and you're having, you know, sometimes bad quarterback play become good to great quarterback play around it. Like, I think you need the chunk plays. You need the more open receivers. I think the less complicated stuff is better. Like, I think having an offense in the NFL that more resembles, it's at least closer to like what a college offense is, where it's one or two reads and run, frankly. Like, I think that's better for most quarterbacks in the NFL at this point. I think that includes CJ Stroud. And I don't agree with the fact that, like, it's the notion that this offense makes the Texans' defense that much better or it's that much easier for them to win games. Like, there's so much talent on this defense. They've won a ton of games with that offense. It's not the reason why you got knocked out by Baltimore and by the Chiefs in the playoffs. So, like, I don't think you had to make this offense and wanting to run it as the reason why, because your defense, it benefits your defense so much. So no, I like the 49ers offense better. I think this offense sucks.
So yeah, if the playoffs didn't happen, I would say this offense, because Stroud was playing, I actually liked where Stroud was at going into the postseason. I think he's playing smarter ball now. Like, I think he's playing a little bit more winning football. Like, he's completing more passes, throwing it away, taking fewer sacks. But then the playoffs happened. He fumbled it five times and threw four interceptions and a half.
Yeah.
So, like, that like throws me off completely.
Yeah, I didn't like it all year. Like, I just...
Yeah. I think in the long run, it is actually better for overall team-winning football. I don't think it's in the best interest of Stroud, but I do think it's in the best interest of them winning games.
And we'll know for sure in year two. Like,
yeah.
I think the... Look, this offense is... We focus a lot on how complicated it is for CJ, but it's also complicated for all your receivers on this offense as well, because they have the same options that CJ has seen. And I felt like they clearly at times were not on the same page. So, like, what does year two look like for Nico and Higgins and all these guys that have been in the offense? Like, how much better is it for them? Like we'll see. Like, maybe in year two there's a massive jump. But I have my reservations that that exists.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's move on. Let's take a look at some of the Super Bowl a little bit. Super Bowl coming up. What's better for the league in some of these questions? Also, what's better for the Texans in some of these questions? Like Seahawks, Patriots, Darnold, May. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Colton, does Brian let you pick your own rejoin music? Thumbs up. He's tired of us making fun of his voice. That was a wise
move. Don't do an us thing. It's that a was you a, thing.
That's fine. Me. I like to think of us as a team, Joe. And it's always, we win and lose as a team.
Most of the times, yes. But when you're just
you
like...
You threw me under the bus there.
Yeah, it was deserved. When we were making fun of Brian's voice, that was a wee thing.
Yeah.
You know, I asked him to say goodbye to the audience the other day.
Oh, did you?
You didn't hear that?
I'm okay with the jokes. I'm all good with it.
Good. You
I
better like be. If you can't be good with the jokes, like, you can't work here.
I know. It's by the
way. Especially on this show.
No.
That's why I enjoy them. Like,
yeah, you have to have thick skin in this business. You have to have thick skin in life. Let's be honest. Yeah, like, if you have thin skin in life, you're not going to go far.
I get bullied every day.
You do. You do. Yeah.
We like all get stash. Bullied. Keep the stash.
Dessert. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't care what anyone thinks about the stash. The stash is a one-person approval.
Could you care less or couldn't care less?
Could care less? Couldn't care less?
If you could care less, you could care less.
Couldn't care less.
If you couldn't care less, well, there's less. There's not. There's no longer care to be given.
See, the thing is, I knew the right answer to that.
You did. You choked.
I panicked. I panicked.
I saw the wheels in motion. Like, I was like, this ain't going good.
He's answering. I'm going to get this wrong.
That's why I mean, so many people get it wrong. Yeah. I mean, that's mean of me to nitpick, I guess. It's kind of like chomping at the bit. You know, it's not chomping at the bit, Joe.
It's champing at the
It's champing at the bit. Yeah, but people don't know that.
You say it correctly, and every time you say it, I'm like, that's wrong. Yeah, people, but I know it's right.
I get, every time I say it, a dozen texts. You're an idiot, Branham. It's chomping. No, it's not. It's because the horse was champing at the bit. Champing at it.
Champing at it.
The Eagles are hiring Sean Mannion. Was there a character named Mannion?
And like what?
I don't know. I feel like that's a character named Mannion. I don't know. Eagles are hiring Sean Mannion as their new OC. He's 33. His hair looks like he's 53. But it means no Gerard Johnson with Philly, which means he stays here, which I'm okay with that. I love Gerard.
Most
Gerard's
likely
great.
Stays here.
Yeah, most likely.
They could surprise here. Us still, I guess.
But. I guess so, yeah. Yeah. I tweeted this. Sean Mannion looks like a character in those You're Turning Into Your Parents commercials. Like, literally before our eyes, this picture looks like he's turning into his dad. Like, he's still hanging on. He's got, like, a half bowl.
I was thinking about that a lot this morning.
Your hair?
Yeah.
You're thinking about shaving it?
I think I'm going to get rid of it. It's time.
What does it look like now? Like, yeah, you should probably let it go.
That's why I wear a hat every day.
Either you gotta let it go or you got to go, like, the horseshoe.
No.
Like, the Jeff Van Gundy horseshoe.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. That's a bad idea.
Why?
That's.
I like that's the horseshoe look.
I don't. Yeah, I think I'm just thinking I'm going to get rid of it. I think I might do it this weekend, actually.
You're just going to shave it?
I'm thinking about it.
You're
going to
be a bald man now?
I'm really thinking about doing it this weekend.
Completely bald? Like, yeah. Did Robert Sala inspire you?
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the manly men who have bald heads. D'Amico, Sala.
Yeah. I was watching the Rockets game last night, and I saw my old friend come up on television.
Who's
a couple
that?
Times. AC.
He's bald now?
Yeah, he's bald now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was like, you know, AC did it when we were working together at the other place, like. Maybe it's just time.
Are you scared what you're going to look like bald?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big leap.
It's a big leap.
Yeah.
And I've got this, I think I told this story, I've got this little bump on my forehead that like.
So you're not going to be like a symmetrical bald?
I don't know. I don't think it doesn't feel like it's a large bump.
Is it a tumor?
No, I hit my head when I was a kid.
And it's still there?
Yeah.
I think Brandon maybe has like three of those.
I think all kids do at some point.
Dude just sits on like the couch and like falls off.
Yeah. Joseph went head first into a wall yesterday.
They don't learn.
Like we were just playing in the house. He just ran into it. I was like, dude.
How many falls does it take? Like, how many walls being run into does it take?
They don't ever learn. Joseph did this thing when he was really young, when he couldn't talk yet. It was the most scary thing I've ever seen in my life. He smashed his head on the ground because he was frustrated and couldn't tell us why. Like, he literally, like, hands on the ground, boom! And I was like, we went right to the hospital. He was fine. But, like, it was, like, the scariest thing I've ever seen a kid do in my life. The doctor was just like, that's normal. They're like, some kids just do this when they're angry and can't communicate. So they just hit their head on the ground. I was like, what are you talking about? It was the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's scary. I'm glad he's okay.
He seems okay.
He's going to have the same bump you do. I'm 95% sure the 80s texter is screaming at the radio because he thought he had a point. Yeah, we're making fun of him. Is it Tejano Thursday? Joe said he's only going to do that one time a month, so we're going to do it the first Thursday of every month. Jim, and it's not going to be full Tejano Thursday. It's just going to be Jose Jorge, Joe's alter ego.
Toto me Tortora?
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Mannion is the not reading that. There was like a Mannion. Was there a Mannion on Seinfeld? Brian might know that. Like Mannion, was he the close talker? Who was Mannion? No, Mannion was the comedian. The Mannion
was the
he's the guy who stole the joke.
Exactly, you got it.
There was a Mannion. I just couldn't place.
I thought it was Banyan, though.
It might have been Banyan.
I think it was Banyan.
You might be right. You might be right. I might be confusing the letter there. Kenny, okay, here we go. Kenny Banyan was a character from Seinfeld. He stole the Ovaltine joke, I think. Horseshoe Joe has a nice ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
Horseshoe exudes confidence, if we're being honest here. I agree.
I think it does exude confidence.
I feel bad for bald always wearing hats. If you go bald, you got to stop wearing the hats, I think.
I probably will. I'll probably wear a lot less hats.
I think you just have to wear it. You have to own it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Hats occasionally, but not often.
Lance McCullers drinks the coffee at Jiffy Lube.
I mean, sometimes it's a Keurig.
I've had some bad coffee in my life. Oil place coffee is pretty high up there.
A lot of times now they're Keurig though, so like it's okay.
Somebody said it's Banya, not Banyan. Okay, whatever. You know what I meant. Yeah, the Keurigs are fine.
Yeah, like although
hot plastics, Joe.
That's true.
Hot plastics could be killing us all.
Well, then I'm dead. So,
hotel room coffee can be pretty bad.
I don't normally do that because by the time I want coffee, like there's free breakfast. So I'm just going to go downstairs and get coffee.
Yeah, some hotel room coffee can be pretty gross. Jiffy Lube coffee is pretty bad. What are some of the other bad coffees that are out there?
I mean,
like any auto shop coffee is going to be bad. Like it's pretty, it looks like oil. Like it's so black, it looks like oil. It's kind of thick and, you know.
I mean, because I've, now we don't have this coffee pot anymore.
Somebody said Mannion's from Ted Lasso. I don't remember that one.
But radio station coffee can be bad if it gets left out for a while. It might just sit there for 2 days. You might not realize it.
Yeah, that is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
chilling.
Yeah.
And people might still heat it up and nuke it.
Paul used to drink it cold.
I know.
Room temperature.
I don't understand.
That was the grossest thing ever.
Yeah, he wouldn't nuke it. I don't get it. Like, you just drink it.
Like, or you can put it over ice there. But, like, room temperature coffee is
like, a lot of times,
worst.
Like, Blank would probably make the coffee the day before, and Joel would drink it the next... I mean, Paul would drink it the next day.
Yeah, room temperature.
Like, he wouldn't... Like, I don't understand.
Like, if you put it on ice there, fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
You heat it up, fine.
But, like...
Room temperature, like, that's... It might be the manliest thing I've ever heard, quite frankly.
That's
like, I'm not doing that.
No, but it's just gross. I don't know if it's even manly. It's just gross. Airplane coffee?
I think it's manly. Oh, airplane coffee is disgusting.
Yeah. Never done that one.
I drink black coffee no matter what. No matter what. I usually get a black coffee no matter what. If I get a drink on the airplane, it's more than like, well, I'm trying not to drink coffee after noon. If it's before noon, I'm getting it. And I drink it black. Put nothing in it. Just have to, you know, have to take it.
If I'm on an airplane, it's
your medicine.
It's the morning. So you're going, you travel for work.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
So like if it's like the morning and I'm going to Chicago or something like that, like, and I want a drink, like it might just be a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It might just be tomato juice and vodka. Like,
we know what Bloody Marys are, Joe.
Well, no, but like, on the airplane, that might be the best.
Tomato
the closest
juice.
You can get.
Do you like tomato juice?
Only for Bloody Marys.
I used to drink it, and now it's like, it disgusts me.
Yeah, it's the only time I'll drink it is in that. And the only time I'll eat tomato soup is if I have a grilled cheese.
Hold on, what?
Yep,
you
yep.
have tomato juice with grilled cheese?
No, tomato soup.
Oh, tomato soup.
Yeah, the yeah. only time I'll eat that is if I also have grilled cheese.
I don't mind tomato soup.
They go
soup.
Together.
I don't mind tomato soup. La Madeleine has fantastic tomato
they
soup.
They do.
That's elite. Like, that's the pinnacle of tomato soup at La Madeleine. You like French onion soup?
It's not my go-to, but I like it.
What are your top soups?
like,
as we get ready for the Super Bowl coming up a week from Sunday.
Can I check
713-780-3776.
See ya. Dude. That's the worst one you've made. No, you can't eject him because he actually might walk out. Might walk out.
I said it to be stupid.
I know, but it was very bad. I like broccoli cheddar.
That's my own bit.
It was deserved.
Broccoli cheddar, solid.
Broccoli cheddar.
You like a loaded baked tater?
Yep,
that's pretty good.
I don't know if this is childish.
Yeah,
I like chicken noodle.
Yeah. I only eat chicken noodle if I'm sick.
Yes, but
you ever go to these places that have, like, these special wonton soups where, like, it's like wonton with, like, you know, the normal wonton stuff, like a little pork. What a fabricated pork.
Yeah.
Then they have like shrimp in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Very good.
I love me some wonton. Any pho is fantastic.
Okay. I'm gonna
I like chicken pho though. I like chicken pho more than beef pho.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the beef sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not huge. It's like tough and rubbery.
Yes.
Give me a little chicken pho.
I feel like the chicken doesn't get the rubbery that the beef gets.
Yeah, me same. Like, you, I mean, it's in the hot broth. Like, it's going to continue to cook. Like,
yeah.
You're never going to get the temperature on that thing right. Give me. Oh, I like my. Camarone pescado sopa. I like that.
Chicken gnocchi soup from Olive Garden. Agreed. Text line.
I've never had that.
It's so good.
I usually go like Italian wedding. I love soup. I'm a big soup guy.
It's one of the things I miss about Illinois.
Locado.
It's too hot here for soup most of the year.
It is.
I like soup. I like chili. Like, it's too hot here most of the time.
I don't know if I put that in the soup genre.
No, I know, but like it's same like. You usually eat it when it's cold.
All right, 7-1, got to go to break. Brian Colton's yelling at us. 713-780-3776. What are your favorite soups? What is your worst coffee? And we'll get to this Super Bowl conversation. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jury duty coffee is cheeks, says a texter. Good call on that. That's a great call.
Never had it.
Jury duty or jury duty coffee?
Jury duty.
Had it like twice.
Got called once, but it was when Joseph was really young, so I was able to get out of it.
Good call. Phillips 68, when I was a kid, my grandfather had a roach fall in his cup of coffee. He literally picked it out, flicked it to the side, and continued drinking his coffee.
Gross.
All right, that wins. That is the winner for the day. Any bisque is elite. Good call on that. Lobster, crawfish.
Great call. Ooh. I love lobster bisque.
How about a corn bisque?
Never had it.
It's not bad. I prefer the lobster and the crab bisque, but a corn bisque isn't terrible.
I think I've never had a bisque that wasn't lobster.
You never had a crab bisque?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I think there's some places you could do a crawfish bisque.
Huh.
Like the leftover crawfish, you put it in a little bisque. It's pretty good. Rocky, why do people say it's cold outside? Time to eat chili. Like, you don't eat your food hot 12 months out of the year, or you just walk around eating cold food.
It's just different.
I think it's so hot. It's the comfort of it.
Yeah, it's comfort.
It's like
a
nice, warming bowl of chili on a cold day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe eats his chicken noodle soup with his Happy Meal and juice box.
Look, man. There's nothing wrong with a Happy Meal. Okay.
Minestrone, sweet and sour, chicken and star soup. I have to go wonton if I went Chinese soup. I
used to go wonton.
Not a huge sweet and sour, not a huge egg drop.
I don't mind the egg drop. I usually go wonton.
Chicken fajita soup is elite. I've never had chicken fajita soup.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, lobster, crawfish, bisque, elite, says St. Patrick. Chicken and dumplings.
Good call.
That's very good. Is that soup?
Yes.
I think it's borderline. Somebody asked, is Gumbo a soup?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind
of
borderline.
I feel like as someone not from Houston and from the southern part of the country,
mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to answer that question.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't call it a soup.
But I feel like I'm going to offend people if I answer it.
You're going to have a gumbo with like times you would have soup, though. It is very good. A good menudo. We need you to try menudo, Joe.
We do.
Joe eats at the airport, Long John Silver's, in Terminal Q at Newark Airport.
That's not true.
When was the last time you had Long John Silver's?
I don't know. I probably only had it like once or twice in my life.
I used to eat it a lot when I was in high school.
Really?
Yeah. They used to have a Taco Bell Long John Silver's like hybrid.
I remember those.
I would order like three shrimp and like a bean burrito. Like a madman.
We didn't really have them like in the town I grew up in. So like it wasn't really a thing.
I probably haven't had one in. Actually, you know what?
They still exist.
There's one on 45 right by Aldine High School, former national champions in the early 1990s. That is it's an A&W root beer Long John Silver's concept.
Two places I have seen, it feels like, in forever.
Yeah, I actually stopped in there one day. I drive by it every day.
Yeah.
I actually stopped in there one day, like 2 years ago, and like try to remember like the old nostalgic days. It was terrible, and I haven't been back since. And before that, it'd probably been 10 years.
Okay.
So I probably had it once in 12 years.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time I had it, honestly.
Yeah. It's not what I remembered. Not very good. Somebody said ramen. Ramen's good. Ramen's very, very good. Minestrone. Yeah, minestrone's solid. All right. Oh, there's more of these. The Flying Dutchman had gator bisque. It was phenomenal.
Hmm.
I've never had gator bisque. I've had gator.
I have, too.
Gator's pretty solid.
I had a gator po' boy in New Orleans. It's awesome.
Did you get that extra box of Crispies at Long John's? Yeah, they give you like a little box of the crispy fried stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the extra because usually you get like a 3-piece shrimp. There's enough in there to, you know, please a man. Gumbo is technically a stew. Soups are thinner and cook quicker. There you go.
Okay.
There's the update for you. Umble has the last Poncho's Mexican buffet in Houston. Yeah, I knew that. That's I used to go there a lot as a kid. My grandpa, Papi, I called him. He would used to take me there. Chili's enchilada soup. I've heard that's really good. Oh, this is a good idea. Can we have Jose Jorge try menudo on the air?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Vietnamese pho. I mean, it might get cold. It's not disgusting.
What is it?
Menudo?
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of hominy and beef in it.
Okay.
That's it.
I don't like the way you're saying it.
Kind of a spicy broth.
I don't like the way you're saying it. Spicy. You're looking at me like I'm going to try something I don't like. I don't know the way you're looking at me.
It's just a little hominy and beef.
What's that first word?
Hominy.
What is
You've
that?
Seen hominy. They have it canned all the time. You've had hominy.
I don't think I have.
Yes, you have.
I don't think I have.
It's just that little thing that looks like corn a little bit. But it's like whiter. It's more bolillo.
How do I smell that?
Huh?
How do I even smell it?
Hominy? H-O-M-I-N-Y?
Oh, okay.
Spelling Bee champion, third grade, Lakeland Elementary, Humble ISD.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've had hominy.
I guess I probably have.
The hominy's not what you need to worry about. It's more the beef.
Is it like tongue?
Not quite. It's the only menudo I've ever had with the beef is the stomach? Stomach lining. Yeah.
I'll be fine.
And it kind of looks like a brain. Whenever you cut it up.
I'll be fine.
Like one side of it's kind of fatty.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it's kind of spongy.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I've had that before.
It's not bad.
Yeah. It's not my favorite, but it's one of those things that I've had to learn in life that when you get married into a different culture.
Yeah, it's just stomach lining.
And they put things on your plate and you've never had it before.
Yeah.
You're going to eat it because what am I going to do? Tell my father-in-law, no, I'm not going to eat that gizzard. I'm going to try it.
Yeah, you got to try it.
I don't want to.
You got
to
try it.
I'm going to try it.
Yeah, you got to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to eat goat as a kid. My grandpa would raise goats and butcher them and cook them up.
That's fine.
They'd have like little hairs in the meat.
That doesn't sound great, that last part. You had me until that.
You put it like in a stew. Chivito, I think they called it. Clam chowder, Long John Silver by the San Angelo Airport. Man, I miss raising the flag at Poncho's. We'll go to the one in Humble. Somebody said it's disgusting. Just hearing the words Poncho's gives me bubble guts. Tortilla with queso fresco and bean soup is delicious. Okay.
Sounds good.
That's not bad. And Jeremy's setting them up.
Probably.
This guy said menudo has pig feet and all crazy stuff in it. That's like a really like outrageous places. If you just go to like some little Mexican restaurant, you order menudo, you're not going to get pig feet in any of them.
Okay.
Pozole is fine. I don't love pozole.
I'll try your soup.
Gabrito. That's what they call it. Not chivito. Gabrito.
I'll try your soup and I'll bring in the most disgusting alcohol for you to try.
What is it?
Malort.
I think I've had Malort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. People use that as like a bet, right? Like you lose, you have to drink Malort.
Yeah, it's also kind of like a Chicago staple for some odd reason. Like it's like a welcome to Chicago.
I feel like somebody drinks this on a show.
I think AJ and Fred did.
That's what it was.
During happy hours. They brought it in.
Yeah, that's
what it was. I think Josh brought it for. I think
that's what it that. Was. That's where I remember Malord from. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Philip?
Thanks, guys. I actually had a soup take. So this one goes back a ways for me. But out in California, there's a place called Split Pea Anderson's. They had a few locations. And best split pea soup you can imagine. It was so good. They actually had hotels built onto the restaurant. And these restaurants were like cathedrals to soup.
Wow.
And it was the good split pea. It was the thick stuff with lots of chunks of ham in there. Mm. You've never had split pea soup like that. It's none of that runny stuff. So that's definitely the best soup I've ever had.
Wow.
But I think their only spot left is out by Santa Barbara now. But, yeah, they built them all along the coast along the PCH area.
Crazy. That's funny. Thank you, Philip. You like split pea?
I've never had it.
Split pea's underrated. Like it doesn't sound great, right? Like split pea soup. Who would like that? I love split pea soup. Another one that it reminded me of, lentil soup.
I like lentil soup.
Lentil soup is very good, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We eat that a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I love lentil soup. All right. We'll talk Super Bowl later. This was way more fun.
Agreed. We got 2 weeks.
Who are the best players to have their careers wasted on bad teams? 713-780-3776. Best players, careers wasted on bad teams. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.